Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Merry Mischief by Bella Falls, narrated by Johanna Parker. Chapter 1. The scents of cinnamon, ginger, and molasses swirled and mingled around me, delighting my nose. The big industrial mixers whirred to life as they kneaded ingredients together. A white cloud of flour floated in the air when Flaky and Flippy poured the essential ingredient into the large metal bowl. The elves of Yuletide Yummies bustled about the commercial kitchen in perfect harmony with each other. I stood out of the way on the edge of the activity, lost in wonderment of how far I'd come. Last year, I found myself at the bakery as part of my parole agreement. This year, I came to the aid of my best friend, Vale, to assist in preparing for the gingerbread house competition, which she had planned all by herself.
"Don't just stand there gawking," my half-elf friend said, giggling as she caught me stuck in my thoughts. "Grab a rolling pin and get to work."
"Oh, you're such a demanding taskmaster," I joked. "If you recall, I was pretty terrible at this job." She tossed me a red and white checkered apron with the bakery logo embroidered on it.
"No, you weren't. You just hadn't figured out what you loved to do yet. And now that you have, I truly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come in and help."
I found a free spot on the marble-slabbed counter with a metal bowl sitting next to a rolling pin. Turning the bowl over, I waited until a rich, dark brown lump of dough flopped onto the surface. I rolled the raw gingerbread until it flattened into an oblong disc.
"How thin do you want it?" I called out.
Vale came over and checked my progress.
"That's a little too thin. Since you want the walls to be robust enough to hold together, we need the pieces to be about a quarter inch thick. Did you use the wooden guides?"
I found the long, thin pieces of wood next to me. "Is that what these are?"
"Yep. Mash the dough back together and roll it out again."
She dragged a small box full of metal implements towards me.
"I put aside a set of cookie cutters here for you to use once you're done."
"Wow, bossy, bossy," I accused her. Vale's cheeks reddened.
"I'm sorry, am I being too demanding?"
I picked up a small bit of flour and tossed it at her. "I'm kidding, but you definitely sound like you know what you're doing." She placed her hands on her hips with a sigh.
"After this past year, I think I have most of it figured out. Now, try to cut as many house elements from the dough as you can, and place them gently on the baking trays, please."
Giving her a tiny salute, I got back to work rolling out the gingerbread. Nutty popped up on the marble counter beside me and rummaged through the box of cutters.
"I'll help. I'm good with packing things in,"
he managed through very swollen cheeks. "What have you been eating, my friend?" I asked.
"Nothing,"
he lied while chewing on his mouthful. Vale stopped checking on the mixers.
"Nutty, if you've been getting into our nut supply, I will hex your furry hide."
My former roommate's furry tail twitched at the threat, and he hid behind the box of cutters until I'd rolled the gingerbread to the right thickness. He redeemed himself by laying out the cutters one by one. When he fit as many as he could, I pressed on them to cut out the individual pieces to make up a house. When we filled two trays, I started again with another ball of dough. A loud rap on the back door interrupted our productive flow, and I paused in my job to answer it. Rocky's large frame filled the doorway. An odd forest green apron stretched across the rock troll's generous torso. A printed Christmas wreath sat off-center on it, and a few threads hung from the frayed edges of the bottom.
"What are you wearing?" I asked.
Rocky emitted a gravelly chuckle.
"Well, it used to be my tablecloth, but I fashioned it into an apron. I didn't think Vale would have any that would fit me. Are you going to stand in the way, or are you going to move that hulking body of yours inside?"
Amos groused from behind the troll. Rocky ducked and crouched his way past the doorframe and into the bakery. Amos greeted me with his usual grumpy countenance, and I mimicked his frown.
"It's so good to be in your sunny presence," I teased.
"Don't give me no guff, missy,"
he shook a finger at me.
"Just be glad I showed up and tell me what to do so we can get this over with."
I stifled a chuckle at my friend's expense and directed him to check in with Vale. I half expected to find my boyfriend following behind them.
but when I stepped outside to look around, he was nowhere to be seen. Before I could send him a text on my spell phone, my best friend called my name and commanded me to finish rolling out the gingerbread. I'd have to look for Wyatt when we were done. Ginger and Pepper suggested the time would go by faster if we sang some carols. The elves didn't wait for an agreed consensus and burst into the first song. When Amos complained, I started singing just to watch him squirm. For the first time I could remember, I actually enjoyed caroling, and maybe because it bothered Amos a little, I sang along with a little gusto. We got through at least 5 jolly tunes before we finished cutting out the last pieces of the gingerbread houses and putting them in the ovens. After these bake and cool down, we'll put them in those boxes over there. Vale pointed at the red and green containers stacked in the corner. That way, everyone will have a gingerbread house kit all ready for decorations. While we're waiting for the last batch to bake, we can clean up and assemble some of the accessories. Flaky and Rocky cleaned off the countertops, while Vale asked Amos to help her retrieve the additional boxes of supplies from the back room. Ginger, Pepper, and I divvied up gumdrops, candy canes, and licorice into different piles. Nutty bounced between us, and I suspected more of the sweets made it into his mouth than into the bags he was filling.
Hey, Squirrel, we'll be here all night if you don't stop eating the goods,
Amos complained. Our furry friend attempted to protest any wrongdoing, but could only garble his response through his full mouth.
If you eat all that candy, you'll spoil your stomach.
Vale separated our bags of candy and placed them into the assembled boxes.
Don't forget, I've arranged with Clarence at the Wassail to feed you guys as a way of thanks.
No need to thank us, I assured her. I think what you're doing is really cool. Now that they've suspended the Seasonal Spirit Awards for being a tad too competitive, I think coming up with a local gingerbread house competition is a fantastic idea. Amos snorted.
I can't imagine why they would think the SSAs had gotten too contentious. It's not like the former owner of this bakery went crazy and tried to steal Santa's sleigh. She didn't try. She succeeded,
Rocky corrected. My half-elf friend shrugged her shoulders.
I felt like we should have an event for Holiday Haven where the competition is friendly rather than cutthroat. Every business has donated so many different prizes that I'm pretty sure everyone will be able to win something, no matter what they enter.
And bonus, everyone who participates will be able to take home their own decorated gingerbread house in the long run,
Rocky said.
So, it's a good thing all around.
Well, count all of us humbugs in,
I declared, even pulling Amos in for a tight side hug.
Right?
Ever since using Pine and Dandy's shop space for my office, I had been chipping away at Amos's icy exterior all year. When he threatened to hide away from everyone as the holiday season approached, I made sure he knew we would look high and low for him, not giving him a moment's peace unless he tried his best to participate. He earned himself some definite brownie points tonight.
We'll see,
he grumbled under his breath. Speaking of our group, where is Wyatt? I asked. Amos shot Rocky a look I couldn't decipher, and both of them grabbed towels to wipe down the counters. Nutty scampered off to the back room. My friend's lack of response puzzled me. Vale's cheeks got extra pink again.
Oh, he had some things he wanted to get done at the break room.
She flashed me an innocent smile.
He promised to meet us at the Wassail.
All the elves set up the kitchen for the next day's work, while the rest of us volunteers packed the boxes with the gingerbread house pieces. I tried not to get too distracted by my lack of answers about Wyatt's absence. I didn't know why he wouldn't come out to help our friend, but I trusted that whatever he chose to do instead must be important. We all cheered and clapped for Vale when we finished. She took the edges of her apron and curtsied.
Why don't you guys head over to the pub? I'll finish up here and meet you there. Oh, and tell Clarence whatever you order, put it on my tab.
The elves chittered away as they took off their aprons and chatted amongst themselves, following their boss's orders. Nutty scampered up Amos's pant leg and sweater until he settled on top of his friend's shoulder. My friends waited with Rocky for me to join them, but I told them to save me a seat. Whatever Vale had to finish up, I didn't want to leave her alone to do it. I searched around for her, but didn't find her in the empty kitchen or in the darkened storefront.
After she had taken over the business, Vale had rearranged some of the building, and I climbed the stairs to find her in her new office.
"Oh, you startled me," she exclaimed. "I thought you had gone with the rest.
I wanted to help you out with whatever was left. No sense in you handling things by yourself. You do so much as it is." Vale's smile brightened.
"Thanks, Rory, but there's really not much else to do other than close out today's books."
She held up a stack of receipts.
"Business has been good, and picking up the closer we get to Christmas."
Her success warmed my heart. "I always knew you could do it." She leaned back in her chair.
"I'm glad one of us did. I don't know what possessed me to take over Yuletide Yummies after what happened last year, but I'm sure glad I did. We're already talking about expanding into the store space next door. Maybe I can grow my chocolate business or offer a coffee shop, although I wouldn't want to compete against the Candy Cane Cafe."
I watched as my friend dreamed big and reveled in her success. "Whatever you decide to do, you know you have my full support."
"And that's why I know I can do it. But I truly do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you are booked solid right now, so your time is precious."
Vale stapled the receipts together and paperclipped them to a sheet of paper. "I'll always make time for you." My half-elf friend jumped up from her seat and rushed over to give me a big hug. A small object fell from the top of her cluttered desk and onto the floor. I rescued it after our warm squeeze. And the reality of what I held in my hand took me by such surprise that I almost let go of it.
"Sweet Santa, is this what I think it is?"
I brought it up closer to my eyes to examine it. Vale nodded.
"Yep, that's the shrunken sleigh. I asked Mrs. Claus if I could keep it after everything settled down."
I turned it over in my hand, marveling at its beauty, even in the diminutive size. I still can't believe this thing caused such an uproar.
"And secured your legend as the savior of Christmas," she reminded me.
I shot her an annoyed glare. "Don't call me that." Vale patted my arm.
"I'm only teasing, but you really did manage to create a spectacle with the new and improved sleigh. And you kind of did save the holiday last year after all."
"Did I? Or did Clara?" I ran a finger down the side of the tiny sleigh. I'm still not sure she couldn't have created a new sleigh all on her own, considering how similar our magic is.
"How are those lessons with her going so far? It must be exciting to study with her."
Vale straightened up a little of her desk as we talked. "They're okay, I guess. I mean, I've gotten way more control over my fire and ice magic than I've ever had in the past. It's why I can take on so many clients and create new ice sculptures. My business was booming, and I should be over the moon happy with my success. And yet, I still felt a slight pain of promise unfulfilled. But I do wonder if that's all I can do. Clara seems to think there's more to come for me." After the debacle of the solstice beach bubble, I had only told Wyatt and Vale about Clara's strange offer. With all the attention I got for creating a new sleigh, I definitely didn't want more unwanted attention or speculation over her proposition. Plus, I didn't really take her seriously about where my future could lead. I figured she just wanted to challenge me to push myself. "I'll be headed to the center of the North Pole in a couple of days for another lesson. I don't know how she can fit me in as things ramp up for the holidays, but she seems insistent on seeing me." Vale pushed a drawer closed.
"Well, you never know with Mrs. Claus. She doesn't share her plans with many people. But if you learn something new, let me know."
"You'll be one of the first, I promise." I placed the sleigh back on top of her desk.
"Hey, Vale, why did you keep it all this time?"
Vale wrapped her scarf around her neck.
"I wanted to change the memory of it from the negative of what Wren did to how my friend helped save the day."
The two of us bundled up in our winter gear and walked downstairs. "I wonder whatever happened to Wren Warbler, or to Pandora, for that matter." Vale took out a set of keys from her purse.
"I don't know. Maybe you could ask Buzzy, but I suspect he wouldn't know what goes on in law enforcement outside of Holiday Haven."
We exited the building, and our breath steamed the second we hit the evening air outside.
"Well, wherever they are, I know they aren't nearly as happy as I am.
Come on, friend. Let's go have some food and drink, especially since you're paying.
Chapter 2. The toot of the Tinsel transit echoed through the air, and I hurried down the train platform. Wyatt followed behind me, handling a rolling suitcase.
I'm going to be late. I checked the clock on the wall and saw I had mere minutes left.
You'll be fine,
Wyatt reassured me from behind.
We're almost there.
With a little extra pep in my step, I made it to the first car with a minute to spare. One of the conductors met me and read my ticket. His mustache twitched as he tipped his hat.
I see you're in one of our star first-class cabins.
He accepted the suitcase from Wyatt, but struggled to lift it into the car.
What do you have in here? Bricks?
Be careful with that, Wyatt warned.
The conductor lifted the case up each stair with a grunt until he disappeared with it. The train whistle blew again, and I rushed to give my boyfriend a hug. He kissed the top of my head.
When you get to the castle, make sure.
I know, I interrupted. I'll be sure your clandestine hooch gets to the big man himself. You think you're being all slick, but you know Clara knows all about it. Wyatt's chest vibrated from his deep laugh, and he rubbed my back.
Of course I do. Pretty sure she drinks my moonshine as well. She just likes to give him a hard time.
He cupped my cheek and leaned down, planting his lips on mine. Each time we kissed, it felt like the first time. Butterflies sprouted wings in my stomach, and my heartbeat pounded a rapid rhythm. Another whistle blew, and I pulled away with regret.
Miss!
The conductor called out as he hung onto the rail on the outside of the car.
We're about to leave.
I stood on my tiptoes and pecked him on the lips one last time. I'll be back soon.
Be good.
Wyatt flashed me his radiant smile. The gears of the train ground to life, and I jumped from the platform onto the stairs of the first car just in time. Secure that I'd made it, I held on and cried out one last goodbye. My boyfriend blew me a final kiss and waved. My heart warmed, and I followed the conductor down the narrow aisle until he came to a cabin with the wooden frame painted red and a green and gold wreath painted on the glass window.
Here's the star cabin.
He slid the door open and ushered me inside.
One of the crew will be by soon to bring you refreshments. Until then, if you need anything, just press this button and one of us will come check on you.
I pulled out my purse and dug in my wallet to give him a tip. The conductor waved me off.
Oh, no, miss. Everything has been prepaid for you. Enjoy your journey.
The last few times I'd gone to take lessons with Clara, Wyatt had taken me when he made trips into the center of our region for supplies or deliveries. When he told me his schedule wouldn't allow him to leave Holiday Haven so late in the season, Mrs. Claus had been kind enough to arrange for me to take the Tinsel Transit. With the adrenaline rush to make the train, it was a second before I noticed the luxury of the cabin. A tiny fireplace sat in the corner, with a cozy fire already roaring, and a fragrant garland hung over the wooden mantel. I sat down on the plush cushioned seat and settled in to watch the winter scenery pass by, in absolute opulence. Although it was freezing cold outside, the magic of the train and the fireplace kept me nice and toasty. I couldn't help but consider how lucky I'd been in not only coming to the North Pole, even under nefarious circumstances, but also that my life had changed directions based on my own choices. A knock on the door interrupted my deep thoughts, and a young elf wearing the dark green uniform of the conductors slid the door open.
I have some refreshments for you, Miss Hart.
She navigated a trolley until it filled the opening of the door.
I've got a carafe of coffee for you. But would you like anything else to drink?
I hardly had any time to ask for a menu before she set up the table in front of me with the coffee and a fine china cup. Instead of asking me what I wanted to eat, she gave me an elegant plate and placed shining silver utensils on either side. With quick movements, she laid out the table with several covered silver dishes. When she finished, she pulled the lids off each platter. A full turkey meal with all the extra side fixings tempted me with their steaming goodness. My stomach growled from the enticing aromas. This looks amazing, but I don't think I'll be able to eat it all. The elf giggled.
Well, save a little room. I've got some signature plum pudding for dessert.
By the time the Tinsel Transit pulled into the central station, my stomach bulged out from all the good food. If I needed fuel to charge my energy for any magical lessons, I'd be good for at least a week. When the train came to a stop, I grabbed the handle of the suitcase to wheel it out, only to have the first conductor rush to my cabin.
"Here, let me take that for you, Miss Hart. You go on ahead."
He gestured for me to pass in front of him, and I walked down the aisle to the exit. The sun shined so bright that it blinded me, and I squinted as I took each step with great care off of the train.
"Miss Hart!"
My name rang out across the busy station. I shielded my eyes with my hand and saw an elf rush across the platform in my direction. When he got close to me, he slid to a stop and straightened his body into some formal salute. His jaunty red bow tie with white polka dots bobbed up and down as he cleared his throat.
"That's me,"
I volunteered with a slight wave, moving forward so the conductor could hitch my heavy bag down the train stairs. Despite his protests, I tipped the conductor some money and insisted he share it with the other elf who'd served my meal. With that done, I gave my attention to the newcomer. The elf bowed so low in front of me that his striped hat almost touched the ground.
"May I say, 'tis truly an honor to be of service to you today."
His thick accent made his greeting seem more charming. The spectacle of his welcome gained us an audience from a few passengers milling about. No doubt they had also heard him call my name, and the mention of my accomplishments the previous year were murmured amongst them.
"Let me introduce myself. The name is Argyle, and I am honored to escort you to your transportation, Miss Hart."
He started to bow again, but I touched his shoulder to stop him. "Call me Rory," I insisted, wanting him to stop genuflecting. "Let's get to this transportation as quickly as possible." Argyle moved around me to accept the suitcase from the conductor. With his small stature, the elf struggled a bit to pull it behind him, and I offered to take it myself. He refused my help and dragged the suitcase a few paces in front of me with both hands. We exited the station and headed in the direction of a sleek black sleigh with an enclosed carriage. A gold logo with the letters N.P. was embossed on the side. An elf wearing sunglasses jumped down from the driver's seat and approached us. He offered me a curt nod and hurried to help Argyle with the suitcase. It took both of them to hoist it up into the trunk compartment of the sleigh.
"All righty, Miss Rory. We can be on our way to the castle."
He gave the driver instructions to get going, and the sleigh slid forward, gliding with grace across the snow.
"Have ye ever seen such a glorious city as ours?"
Argyle asked, admiring the view from his side of the sleigh. Compared to Holiday Haven, the center of the North Pole was a thriving metropolis. The colorful buildings rose twice the height or more of those at home. Decorative lights and ribbon wrapped around every available pole. Multiple stores lined the streets, and citizens of all shapes and sizes crowded the sidewalks. The city made my town of Holiday Haven feel tiny in comparison.
"I've been here before, but never through the main part of it. It's really..."
I wanted to say Christmassy, but that felt a bit too obvious.
"Beautiful."
One storefront in particular caught my eye. The Christmas Whisk featured brightly colored baked goods. Despite being full from the food on the Tinsel Transit, my mouth watered at the tempting display case of several cakes in all different sizes, decorated like Christmas presents. I bet I could convince Vale to come here on a research trip to check them out sometime. Once we passed the shopping area, we drove past several starker buildings with multiple tall chimneys reaching up to the sky with plumes of multicolored clouds of glitter rising from them.
"These are our gift factories. We have a whole operation from making the presents all the way to wrapping them,"
Argyle explained. I'd heard of the major operation at North Pole Central, but seeing it in person intimidated me a little. When I'd come with Wyatt, he'd driven me through back roads and straight to the castle, using one of the back entrances so he could make his clandestine deliveries. I think if I'd arrived for my first lesson with Clara in a North Pole carriage, I might have turned around and headed back to Holiday Haven.
"And there's the beautiful gem of our whole region, shining like a beacon of joy and happiness,"
Argyle pointed at the glittering structure ahead of us. I leaned forward,
captivated by the sheer magnitude and beauty of Santa's castle.
Oh, my stars!
My jaw dropped, and I marveled like a little kid seeing the big man for the first time. My reaction pleased the elf, and he straightened his bow tie with pride.
It was always my mother's dream for me to work in the castle. It took me several years, and now I am one of their trusted family members.
You're related to the Clauses? He shook his head.
No, it's just the way they want us to call ourselves. If we've earned the honor of working in the castle, they trust us as if we were one of the family. Mrs. Claus, in particular, doesn't like anyone to use the terms worker or employee.
The revelation made me like Clara even more than I already did, and increased my admiration of her tenfold. Vale was right. I was incredibly lucky to be taking lessons from Santa's wife. And if what Argyle said was true, then I wondered how she viewed me. The sleigh crossed a bridge of ice, shaped to look like blocks of crystal stones. The sun reflected off of the edifice of the castle, and I realized the whole thing had been forged out of ice as well. Its flawless design reminded me of my own sculptures, but I didn't think I had that much imagination to come up with the arches and turrets and all the other features that made it special. But that would have been one heck of a slab of ice to start with, if someone had sculpted the whole thing. We drove under a large arch with an icy shield of arms shined to perfection. In the middle was the same NP logo as on the side of the sleigh, glowing golden in the sunlight. Living in the cozy town of Holiday Haven, I could almost forget that we were part of something much bigger. But driving up to the front of Santa's castle, I couldn't deny that I lived and breathed in the North Pole that featured in all the Christmas stories. Except I knew the place was very, very real.
Ah, we're here, Argyle declared. Stay seated, Miss Hart. I mean, Miss Rory.
He winked at me in acknowledgement of his mistake. The second the sleigh slid to a stop, a rush of elves approached us. Before I even exited, I saw four of them carting Wyatt's suitcase away. Argyle opened the door for me and offered me his gloved hand and assistance. Although I usually liked to take care of myself, I didn't want to insult him or his job. Besides, it felt amazing and kind of regal being so looked after. My boots crunched on the snow as we made our way to the enormous arched doors to enter the castle. Although the sheer size of them should have required at least three Yetis to push or pull them, it took only one elf in similar livery to Argyle to pull one of the doors wide for us to enter through. Argyle marched in front of me, and I followed behind, trying to ignore how many of the staff bowed to me. He led me into a grand hall, bigger than Yuletide Yummies, Pine and Dandy, and the break room all together. Several elves bustled around us, carrying things and fulfilling their duties. In the center of the gracious space, a large living evergreen tree rose out of the ground. The woodsy scent of pine permeated the air. Decorations and ornaments of all kinds hung from the green branches, and magical lights twinkled and glittered. My head raised bit by bit until my neck ached from looking up. At the very pinnacle of the tree, I spotted a white object. I pointed at the tree topper. Is that?
Yes, it is, Clara called out. Although not the actual sleigh. I didn't miniaturize the real deal like what happened last year, but we thought it would be a fun addition to this year's tree.
Thank you for that. My cheeks heated from embarrassed pride. Mrs. Claus placed a warm hand on my shoulder.
It's our absolute pleasure.
Did you have a fine trip here?
Oh, yes. I've never taken the Tinsel Transit before. Even if I couldn't afford to stay in the Star Cabin, I'd definitely ride on it again. It was a very comfortable ride.
Good,
Clara addressed Argyle.
I trust the package she brought with her has been taken into our private residence?
He nodded once in affirmation.
The contents should already be unloaded as we speak.
Argyle turned to face me.
When you are ready to leave, I will be happy to return the case to you and escort you back to the station.
Thank you, sir.
You are most welcome, Miss Rory.
He bowed low again, and when he stood, He straightened his bow tie with a grin. The elf left me with Clara, and I watched him hurry down one of the many corridors.
Do you re-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?